Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well, now that I yelled at you guys off the air.
Behind the scenes.
Yes, and we're also joined by our good buddy John Peters. Hey, John, pull up your stool, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
We're doing good. Did you see the little orange tree I put in the corner, John? I did that specially for you, buddy. Make you feel at home up here in the Northeast at the pub.
I appreciate it. It makes me feel very Floridian. So
yeah, there you go. I mean, we might have to bring it in then because of we're getting some cold weather here now. It's back down to the 60s. Yesterday was 86 degrees here. Now today it's going to be 61.
Yeah, I went to bed with my window, most of our windows open with the nice air, and I went around and closed them all this morning because it's about 40.
Exactly. I had my air cranking all night. I mean, me and my wife woke up like we were a little two butterflies in a cocoon. No, you shut it off. No, you shut it off.
Yeah. John, you would kill for a nice cold front like this to come on in down there, right?
We won't see anything like that until November. So it's going to be 96 and hot until then. So and unfortunately, we got the humidity back and still no rain. So my yard looks like a desert landscape right now. So
yeah, mine looks like I cut it yesterday and I'm going to be cutting it again tomorrow. That's the way it is around here right now.
Yeah, we've had the good weather. It's been raining and cloudy, and like I told Doug the other day, you can almost look out the window and see your grass growing. It's growing so quickly.
Oh, it looks beautiful. I do. That's the thing, the reason why, unlike right now, what you're going through right now, John, but that's one of the other reasons why I want to move to Florida is because the winter depresses me with the trees bare, with no leaves, no flowers, no nothing. I mean, it looks so much nicer when you're driving around. It just makes you – I don't know. It just brightens your day when you see the beauty of the landscapes around compared to wintertime. I'm just done with wintertime. What about you, Dan?
Yeah. Last weekend we took a ride to the Clam Box. I know you're going to tease me over that, but we were there, and we also went to a couple of nurseries and picked up some perennials to put around the yard and stuff. So I know what you mean. It is – see the flowers and the greenery and all that. John probably thinks we're crazy, but when you don't see it for 5 months or whatever it is, you kind of miss it, and it does brighten your mood and spirit when you start to see things budding out. And I know you're a little bit ahead of me, Doug. Our leaves on the trees are just now popping. I'm sure they're already out down there. It's nice. It just, a lot better than, like you said, looking at what looks like dead wood, if you will, all the trees with no leaves.
Absolutely. It's just, I don't know. Winter's just very depressing. Like, up until Christmas, it's okay. But right after Christmas is over, it's like, give me summer. I'm over winter already. So it's nice spring's here. I mean, the only thing is I'm getting closer to that big 5-0, and I'm getting nervous about that. I'm an old man.
Yeah, well, some of us are over that threshold, so you deal with it.
Thanks, buddy. I'll come to you for tough love. I got a couple more months left, but
Come on in. The water's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just the skin starts to wrinkle. Like this morning, I go upstairs. I just shaved a couple days ago, and I'd like cleaned my whole self up, and then I got hairs coming out of my eyebrows. Like, how do they grow like that? I mean, when I was 20 years old, I never had a hair that long out of my eyebrows. You know what I'm saying? And then you'll look at your ear, and you got this. You look in the mirror, you're like, what the heck is that? It looks like an antenna. It's like, where's this crap coming from?
It's funny you say that. I got a haircut just Friday night. We have a friend of my daughter's. She's a hairdresser, and she actually comes to our house to give us a haircut.
Highfalutin' he is, John.
No, actually, it's cheaper. She does it as side work. But so I'm getting a haircut, and I have the cape on, and it's a black cape. And I see this gray hair that she's cutting, and I'm saying, who the heck's hair is this? Because it's way whiter than I think it is, you know? So, when you get older, it's funny how you picture yourself and how you actually look. And it's, I didn't think my hair was quite that gray, but I guess it is.
Like, don't feel too sorry for me, because I still know I am good looking, but I am getting old. I'm just kidding. But I was just saying to my wife too, I didn't really get hit with the gray bug. I got more gray in my beard than my hair. But with the stress of everything I've been going through with the surgery and stuff like that, I can see the gray filling in on the sides above my ears a little bit. It's like, I'm telling my hair and my insides, you got to stop that. You're turning yourself gray. Stop it.
Yeah, I shocked myself with 220 out of an air conditioner when I was about 28, and it blew me back against a rose bush, and I sat there for like 5 minutes, and ever since that happened, my hair started turning gray right away, so I'm almost completely white right now.
At least you have hair to be gray, John, right? Because it could have been
a little bit,
It could have been worse.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, that 220, that could have ended up very bad, so.
I'll tell you one of the craziest stories. My brother had a dog named Buddy. His name was Smokey, but his little daughter, my goddaughter Amanda, she was born, and then they got the dog like a year after she was born, so they grew up together. And as she was a little girl, instead of calling him Smokey because she couldn't say that, she'd go, Booty, he's my booty. So the dog's name actually changed to Buddy. Well, he was an idiot. He was a wonderful dog, but he would eat anything. He literally ate through a 220 electrical wire and lived. My brother turns his air on and is like, why ain't my hair working? And then he goes out and he sees the dog in the corner. Here the dog, Buddy, ate right through the electrical line and nothing happened. We still don't know how that dog lived to the day he passed.
Wow.
And this dog was, I don't know, there was something different about him. He lived to a nice age, but he literally, when my brother moved, my brother's son, he was talking to the neighbor, and this girl came flying down the road, and my godson, Donnie, he walked out in the street. Buddy grabbed him and pushed him on the curb, and the car actually hit the dog and drug it down the road. And he walked away from that. So we don't know if that dog was part cat or what he was.
He had 9 lives.
But he was, like, so protective of the two kids. But if it wasn't for the dog, my godson would have got hit as a kid. It was just one of those freak accidents. And the thing of it was is the lady driving the car was not paying attention to anything. She was just flying down the streets. Like, they were screaming. She didn't even realize she hit the dog. And this dog was a 100-pound Labrador Retriever. How do you not know you did that?
Wow.
But he was a wonderful dog. But it's like, John, I can't imagine. Like, I think about him doing it. You got kicked back 10 feet. God bless you.
It wasn't pleasant.
Nah. I've gotten nailed a couple times from the electricians turning the – because, you know, with me doing the taping and everything else on the union jobs, I've literally had the blades of my knife fry because they tell you the power's off.
You sounds go to, like they got to use the lockout tag out there.
Yeah, they got to use something. But yeah, they'll have power on, or you're working in a house. No, that whole room's dead, and you're taping around because the sheetrocker didn't tape get too tight around the box, so you got to fix it or clean it up. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you got a big chunk out of your blade, and you're sitting on your butt because you just got shocked.
And you want to go find the electrician and kill him.
Exactly. Well, then what happens is about 15, 20 minutes later, when the electrician's not looking, he gets a whole hook full of mud into his nail, into his tool pouch.
Yeah, that'll teach him.
Yeah, so that's what ends up happening there. But no, I mean, I couldn't imagine 220, John. I've been hit quite a bit from 110. I haven't been hit by 220 yet, and I don't plan on it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not a pleasant experience, but that's what I blame my white hair on anyway. So
okay. And then did you see all the crazy – there is a ton of news coming out of Walt Disney World this week.
And yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I actually – and I know you guys wouldn't do this, but me and my wife last night were laying in bed, and you guys know how nuts I have it. I turn on the YouTube on the TV upstairs to see what's new before the show starts today. We actually watched the River Ride. They had annual pass holder previews, and Inside the Magic, Ricky Bergani was down there, and a bunch of other people were down there. They actually took you through the River Ride. I watched that last night, which I can't wait to. You could tell the video doesn't do it justice, so I can't wait to see that. I'm really looking forward to that. But they also showed the entire queue for the new Banshee ride. Like, they show you the scientists talking to you, the whole nine yards. They actually show, you know, one of the avatars being born in the incubator, if you follow me. I mean, it is really, really cool. And they take you all the way up to the room where you sit on the cycle, and then you're kicked out.
Right, right.
That's the only thing you don't see. But I'll tell you what, the queue looks phenomenal. I cannot wait to see it. It kind of reminds you a little bit to me. My wife actually said it, and I agree with her because I was thinking the same thing. It kind of has a little bit of the theming of the dinosaur queue.
Okay. All right.
You know, well, remember Felicia Rashad is talking to you the whole nine yards about going back in time. Well, it kind of has the same kind of deal with the scientists and the whole nine yards with that. So I know you won't go watch it then, but, John, if you get a chance, check it out.
No, I'm not watching it either because we're gonna do it in a month. So I'm not gonna watch it until I go see it. So I don't want to spoil anything. So.
Oh, I just did. So I might be sending you guys links on Twitter. I mean, on text messages to ruin it for you.
All right, I'm blocking Doug.
Oh, I thought you already did.
Yeah, that must have somehow come back on. I'll have to reblock.
No, but it really, really looks good. It really does. So.
Yeah, I mean, it should. I mean, as much time as they've spent, I mean, there's a lot of speculation, and a lot of people are really excited about this. So I would expect nothing but it being, you know, AAA, you know, awesome, if you will.
Oh, and the thing that has me a little freaked out is, like, for somehow, and I don't know, it didn't show it, but it kind of showed it, but it didn't. Like, when you go to sit on these cycles, a little backrest comes up to support your back, and supposedly restraints get put on you. So I'm kind of scared of being locked up, because if they lock me up or put some kind of restraints on me, they might never let me go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, we'll have to see. But like I said, that might be one and done for me if it's as realistic as they say. And if a little back brace comes up, that might tell you it's a little bit of a rough ride, right?
Yeah, I don't know how that is. I mean, I don't know if they move or the virtual reality makes you think you're moving, so they restrain you so you don't throw yourself off the darn bike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be, you know, the thing about soaring. I mean, we've been on it so many times. I know I could stay on that without a seatbelt or anything else. But when you just do it for the first time, it's so realistic that, you know, even though you're not moving per se, your body thinks you are, and you know, I could see where somebody could get disoriented and slip off the thing, potentially.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you get yourself flailing around so much because you really, literally think you're on a nosedive on a Banshee.
Right. Know
what I would like to have? I hope that they shoot – I hope they have video, if it don't move, of just you on it looking like an idiot moving all around when it's not moving.
Yeah.
I think that would be so comical. Could you see if they had the Fast Pass pictures? What is it called again? Photo Pass. The Photo Pass. If they had the Photo Pass on that ride, just taking pictures of your backside squirming and jumping and falling off the bike.
Yeah. Well, although it is a simulator, I mean, that's the whole point. It's supposed to be, you know, close to lifelike, just like the, you know, the airplane ones they do, the pilots do to get their certification. I mean, they're put in situations and, you know, it's pretty lifelike.
Yeah, so I think that would be pretty cool. That's my idea, Disney. Photo pass you on that scooter. I think it'll be hysterical.
Doug will buy it.
Especially after John has a couple golden monkeys in the Dawa barn and hops on there.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see him stepping right over the other side. but anything you guys want to talk about before we head over to the news?
No, not specifically. I'm good.
Yeah. Our good buddies over at the Mickey Dudes, I will say, Dave said he agreed with me. He loves the Scotch egg over at the they were doing the dinner crawl, or they crawled around the food crawl around Epcot, which was a really good episode, their latest episode. And I told Dave I'd buy him a Scotch egg now, because he actually agreed with me on how much he loves Rose and Crown Pub. Plus, it was also his birthday this week, so happy birthday, Dave.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dave.
Come on, John, wish him happy birthday.
All right, happy birthday, Newman. All right.
So, but no, they did a really good episode. And then Brian from Peas and Carrots, he got himself a Victory 12. Did you see that?
Yeah. He said it wasn't his favorite, but he looked like he enjoyed it.
Yeah, he said he liked the Golden Monkey better.
Yeah.
So, no, but we've been checking out the vlogs on them, and they do a good job, Peas and Carrots and Happiest Vlog. They're friends of the show. And if you can, please, guys, head over to It's All in WDW. Bob did he put out the survey or the trivia for the oldest ride in the Magic Kingdom. And I'm sure you guys got it, didn't you?
I don't remember what the choices were.
Well, I knew
I
what
voted. I voted.
as soon as you say what's the oldest ride, what comes to your mind, John?
The carousel.
Exactly. And that was actually bought here in New Jersey and taken down to Walt Disney World. I think it was built in Ohio and then sold into New Jersey and sold into the town, and then Disney actually bought that carousel and took it down to Walt Disney World. So it was built in the early, like 1916, I think that was. 1916 or 1921. If you want to know, head over to It's All in WDW, and the answers are there. But it was a really good trivia question Bob had. So, and it was, you know, he had the usual suspects, Carousel of Progress, and, you know, all the older rides, the treehouse, which, you know, that was actually built for the park. It wasn't before. I mean, the two oldest are actually the carousel and the two carousels, actually.
Yeah, Carousel and Carousel Progress, right?
Yeah, so. But, yeah, head over to our website and check that out. There's a bunch of good articles on there. I hate to say it, but Bob does a great job with our website. So besides that, Dan, you want to head into the news?
Sure, yeah. First piece of news here is pretty interesting. Driver autonomous passenger vehicles coming to Walt Disney World. According to a report from the LA Times, Walt Disney World is about to launch one of the largest driverless passenger vehicle programs to date. The article cites sources with direct knowledge of the program suggesting that Disney is in the final negotiations with two manufacturers of autonomous shuttles, Local Motors in Phoenix and Navier in Paris. A pilot program would initially be used to transport cast members around property, with long-term objective of the system ferrying around guests as early as 2018. Disney appears to be concentrating its efforts on a new transportation technology, with recent speculation that a Walt Disney World gondola system is about to begin construction to connect Walt Disney World Resort hotels to its theme parks. The resort's aging monorail system is not seen as a long-term solution to the resort's transportation requirements, and newer technologies such as the gondolas and the autonomous shuttles offer much more flexibility at a far lower cost. And they have a video here. Did you look at that, Doug?
No, absolutely, I did. I went to that video, and it shows it working in I think London or wherever the heck they did the test. But it actually shows like a guy on a bike driving out in front of it, and it stops completely.
Yeah,
like the guy standing there sightseeing, and it shows the car stopping. I just don't know if I want to roam around Disney property in this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like one of those, what is the vacuum cleaner you put on and it goes by itself. It's similar to that, but...
Roomba.
Yeah.
Roomba, there you go, John. I mean, the technology is a little advanced than that, but yeah, it has no driver and I'm sure is operated by computer module and it has smart features, like Doug just said. When something comes in front of it, it'll stop and won't move till it, you know, whatever's in front leaves. But yeah, I know what you mean, Doug. There's just something about... putting your life in the hands of, you know, somebody that's 50 miles away on some computer system or something. I don't know. It just doesn't seem, I don't know. There's just something about it. I guess I'd have to know more about it before I'd get on one. But it does look pretty cool, though. It's futuristic, that's for sure.
I mean, I'd probably get in it just to say I did it because it's one of those things you want to say you did. But it doesn't look like it would be that much. I don't know if that would be my major form of transportation, and it looks a little claustrophobic to me if you get it totally full.
Yeah, I mean, it almost, to me, it reminds me of, you know, the shuttle. Well, maybe you don't know the shuttle. There's a shuttle at the Orlando airport that takes you from where your plane lands to the major hub, and it's kind of like that.
Just a little bigger. Yeah, it's just a little bigger.
Exactly. And, you know, it has, you know, like bars at the top where I guess you hold on, kind of like a subway or something like that. But it didn't mention what the top speed was or anything like that in the article. So, you know, I don't know how or where it would go. Will they build special roads just for these vehicles? I'm assuming they would have to. Or will it just kind of utilize the existing roadways? But I don't know. I my guess is they're not going to go that fast and they'd be used, you know, to link a park to a park or where there's a, you know, a shortcut, if you will. I just, it didn't explain a lot. I mean, my mind has about 50 questions that I have on these. You know, where would they operate? You know, would they co-mingle with existing, you know, buses and other modes of transportation? I don't know. It just seems like they'd have to have their own roadway, if you will. I don't, what do you guys think?
Yeah. You have any thoughts, John? I have a couple, but...
I don't know. It sounds like you guys are saying that cool technology and stuff. It just, I don't know. It seems like another way for Disney not to have more cast members to me. So, I mean,
yeah, you're 100% right, John. It's it's a way to unemploy people, basically. The only argument you could make is, and the way it sounds, it's going to be, I don't know if Disney's going to run it or not. So, yeah, you might need one or two people in a control tower to run these things. But it's going to lay off bus drivers, boat drivers. I mean, hopefully it just adds to the, you know, the whole auto pool of transportation pool down there. But I don't know. I mean, they look small enough. Then do you think it could possibly like maybe drive on the boardwalk?
Yeah, possibly.
Take you down the walkway. Me and John's favorite walkway from the studios to Epcot. Could it possibly walk? I mean, it looks small enough where it could drive on the sidewalks.
Yeah, no, I agree. But then again, you know, all the pedestrians around, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, again, this is just the first. I'm sure we'll hear more detail as we go forward here. But, you know, I got to say, and you would probably agree, Doug, with your position on the buses, you know, them not being adequate or not enough of them. I mean, they're coming up with ways. Maybe we don't like the ways or we would rather have something else or more buses and drivers. But I think that, you know, like you say, they recognize that their transportation is not adequate for the amount of guests that are going. So they're coming up with new and better ideas. And, you know, we're just a bunch of grumpy old men saying we don't. Maybe we're just not into the technology like, you know, others are. I'm not going to, you know.
I'm not against
criticize it. Yeah, I'm not going to criticize it until I actually see what it's all about and how it's going to work.
I'm 100% for this. I'm 100% for the gondolas. I'm 100% for anything that I don't have to pay extra for. I mean, that's the problem.
Pay for it. If that's your litmus test, then you're going to be
just put it in the resort bill, then. Like you've said a million times, we do pay for the buses and the boats, but we're not paying extra for it.
I see what you're saying. You're being very specific. You're saying you don't want to see an extra charge for this transportation.
Exactly.
I get what you're saying.
Like this is what cracks me up too with the people that argue against me, and and a lot of yous do it, but this is just wrap your head around this. What cracks me up is everybody says to me, well, with the extra, they're paying extra for the different transportations, it doesn't really bother them. But then they'll argue in the same way. They'll pay for the dining plan because they don't want the inconvenience of not taking money out of their pocket. But then they'll take money out of their pocket to go pay for an extra form of transportation. Does that not make sense to you?
Yeah, somewhat.
You want the dining plan because it's all-inclusive and you don't care about paying more. Right. You just don't want to be bothered with actually taking out an extra gift card from your wallet because that's the end of the world. My goodness, it could ruin the whole vacation. I've experienced it. I mean, one time the gift card fell on the floor and I wasted an extra 5 seconds grabbing it. Dude, my trip was almost over because of it. But the point is, you don't want the inconvenience. Just add it into the vacation. Add it into your points or whatever you got to do. You don't want to just have to deal with 20 here, 30 there, 50 there. Am I wrong?
I agree with you. When I said you're going to pay for it, Doug, I didn't mean you're going to pay extra for it. Prices are going to go up. They're going to get it either in the tickets that you buy or the resort that you stay at. It's going to be hidden in there, and it sounds like long as it's hidden, you're okay with it. We're all going to pay for this new modes of transportation. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah, just the argument we always make is we don't want to be nickel and dime. And to give you a little safety, I don't know if you guys knew this, just to go on the gift card deal. Me and my wife were out. We were at my uncle Lou, my wife's uncle. He turns 100. They're having 100. You know, he turned 100 years old. They're having a big birthday party. So happy birthday, Uncle Lou! And we did the basket, the whole nine yards. Mom and Brenda made this beautiful basket up for him. And we went to Sam's Club yesterday while we were out. And I was going through, and I don't know. Do you have a Sam's Club up your way, Dan?
Yes.
Do you have a membership?
No.
Okay. Well, if you just so you know, and I don't know if you have them down your way, John, if you go in and buy a $500 gift card for Disney, it's $474.
$26.
Nice. I mean, it might sound stupid, but you're going on a trip. You're going to spend $500 at Disney World. Am I wrong?
Why not get $25 for free, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to spend $1,000, it's $50. I mean, I know it's the same deal as what I was telling you is at 5% of it's Target. Even better than the Target deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, 5% of it. You know, I mean, it's the same. It's the same, actually. You know what I'm saying? But the point of it is go there. I mean, the trip with a $500 gift card is so easy.
Right.
Just carry that around with you. I mean, you get two. If you get one or two of them, you're set because they even sell the $50 one for $46. So if you just want to go smaller.
Yeah, we were at Target yesterday, and we picked up two $50 gift cards ourselves for our trip. And you're right. They're giving you 5% back, so why not take it? I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you buy $1,000 worth of them or $1,500, depending on what you're going to spend, you're going to spend the money anyway, so you might as well take advantage of that.
Exactly.
And it's not like if you don't spend it all on this trip, you can't use it on your next trip. So,
exactly, John.
And then worst case scenario, if you don't go back in a while, you can always go in the Disney store and buy Christmas presents or something like that with it. It isn't like you can't use it locally, or you can use it online.
Yep, you can use it at the Disney store online. If you're going on a cruise, you can use it. If you're going out to Disneyland, pretty much anywhere, any Disney-related company or whatever, you can use it for. So, you can't go to, the gas station and buy gas with it, but pretty much anything Disney-related, you can absolutely use it.
Yeah,
but if you did feel obligated, feel obligated, you could always send them down to me, and I'd make use of them. So
exactly,
no problem.
All right, John.
But yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool. I'm in there yesterday shopping. I look over. I said, $474 for a $500 gift card. That's a great deal.
Yeah, it seems too good to be true. But like we said, if you're going to Disney World, it's almost a no-brainer.
Well, the thing Disney knows in Sam's Club or whatever you're doing with this, the reason they're letting them do it is because now that money's earmarked, Disney's going to see that $474 one way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
So it's worth them losing $26 to get that. Because if you buy like an American Express gift card or one of those Visa ones or whatever, then you can spend you're not going to spend it all. But if you buy a $500 gift card, there's pretty much a darn good chance you're not leaving with a nickel left on it when you leave that park.
Right. Right. And I, you know, I said this years ago because I've been using gift cards for, I go back to when I used to actually use Disney dollars to go when they were making them and those before the gift cards came out. And we all know that they only came in ones, fives and tens. So it was pretty hard to walk around with a stack of that money to use. Right. Doug, yeah. It's not like you could get a $50 or $100 bill. So you at least I had envelopes filled with the Disney dollars and they were real thick and they were a pain to carry around. But the gift cards, I mean, the reason I liked them back when I was saving for vacations with them is for the very reason you said, because you know what happens. As soon as you put money away for a vacation, what happens? You need tires or this happens or that happens, and you end up using your vacation money. As soon as you buy the gift card, you know that money's earmarked for Disney. And, yeah, it might put you in a bit of a bind, but you know what? You always figure it out, and, you know, if something else goes wrong with the house or the car or some other unforeseen expense, it doesn't jeopardize your vacation. So that's another reason I love them. I feel good knowing I have $500 or $1,000 set aside for my Disney trip coming up in 4 or 5 months down the road.
That's why I tell everybody that's what I want. I don't care if it's a $10. I don't care. Anything, just get me that. Like, I get not mad, but I'm like, oh, I don't want the shirt. Give me a gift card. I got plenty of shirts. I ruin them doing construction anyway.
And, you know, I'm sure you've had people argue with you on this point because, you know, people that are penny pinchers that I know always come back with, well, that's stupid. Why you can't make any interest on it? Why are you going to let it sit on a gift card? I said, how much interest are you going to accrue in 4 months? You know, what are you going to, you know, $1.37, but you can't tell some people that. They're like, well, that's a stupid financial move. Why would you take it out of your bank account? You're not making anything on interest these days in your bank account anyways, right? No. But people will argue that. They'll say, well, that's stupid. Well, okay. I'm stupid.
if any of us had that kind of scratch or was making any kind of interest, we wouldn't be on this show right now. We'd all be at the parks on top of the paddlefish right now doing this show. We wouldn't be sitting in our homes doing this show.
But I guess technically they're correct. It doesn't make financial sense. But for me, you know, it makes all the sense in the world because I know in 4 months I'm going to go to Disney and have a great time and have my spending money to, you know, have a good time.
It's one of those things that gets you up every day to do what you do.
Just Dennis, to your point, I made some money off of eBay last couple of weeks and I took $50 and bought it. A gift card and put it away, and then the very next week my water pump went out and I had to rob Peter, pay Paul with everything else to come up with enough cash to get the water pump. But if I would have had that $50 sitting around,
it would have been
sucked up. So
And it might have put your trip in jeopardy or made your trip not as fun as it could have been. And you know, I'm of the opinion, and maybe, you know, you're going to say highfalutin, but I won't go to Disney unless I have enough cash or money on cards to do what I want to do when I want to do it. If I have to go there thinking I'm a little tight or I can't do this or can't do that, within reason. I mean, I'm not saying eat it at Victoria and Albert's. I ain't going because I want to have total freedom and be able to enjoy myself. Or if I'm with friends, you know, and not be worried about money. And that's just the way I am.
Yeah, that's why we don't go every weekend or we don't go every 2 weeks. I mean, technically me and Lisa could go out there and walk around the Magic Kingdom and I wouldn't buy any beer and bring our own water and I guess eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. And, you know, but I mean, and we'd still be at the Magic Kingdom and I guess we'd still have a good time. But I don't want to sweat it that much. You know, I don't want to be that tight. So I mean, I prefer going out there and being able, you know, if I want to grab something to eat or head over to Epcot and able to buy a beer, I don't want to have to worry about it, you know.
No, you want to be able to buy a round for your friends if you want to do it. If you want to pick up a meal, you pick it up. But the point of it is like Dan, I know what you're saying. You want to have you want to be able to do what you want. I mean, you're not saying you want to eat at a signature dining every single night because that ain't what you do anyway. But if something pops up where a group of us, or you see somebody, or all of a sudden you had signature dining two nights, and the third night you said, you know what, I am really in the mood for this, and you want to do it again. A lot of times you won't do it, but you just want to have the peace of mind. You can do what you want to do when you're there.
Yeah, and actually, I must say, my latest Disney trips, I'd say the last 2 or 3 years, I've gone home with money in my pocket, and that's a good thing. I mean, of course it's a good thing, but years ago, that wasn't ever the case. I usually spent everything I had and then some, if you know what I mean. Now, yeah. I mean, because I've bought all the souvenirs, I'm not doing vinyl nations anymore, and, you know.
You're doing this. See, we're saving you money.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I mean, I know what I like to do, and I know how much it costs, but, you know, I like to have a reserve, too. You know, something could go wrong or, you know, who knows what. But, yeah, I mean, we tend to tour and do the things we do, and we know what it costs, but you know, I go home with money, and to your point, Doug, even if it's on cards, I just put them back in the envelope I had them in, and I start saving for the next trip.
I came home with probably 80% of the cash I took with me. Everything I spent was on the gift cards. I had so many gift cards that everything I did was on them. The only cash I actually spent was at the Laguna Bar with you guys and on the way down, if you follow me.
Yeah,
we
and that
drove
was
down.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. thousands of pennies, not dollars there. But no, and that's the point. And the other thing is like my family members. I don't – like not my wife or my mother-in-law. Like my mother-in-law a little bit will say, is that what he wants? Like they get mad that you want the same thing. No, that's all I want.
makes you happy.
Yeah, it's like – but they act like – there's like it's wrong to keep buying me a gift card. I mean, because they'll keep calling Brendan. I love them, and I'm so thankful that they even want to buy me birthday or Christmas gifts. But they'll call Brendan. He wants a gift card. Really? And they get like if somebody told me that, it would be I'm like on the way. If that's what they love, it makes my life easier too. Like, why do you want to go shopping for me? Just put it all on a gift card.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd much rather get an Amazon gift card or something so I can, you know, shop and get something I really want. And not that I'm saying that a gift that somebody gets I wouldn't appreciate.
No.
Of course I would. But you know what you like, and there may be something you want to save for, and you couldn't explain it to somebody, or you may not know what it is until you see it, or the model you want, or the you know what I mean? So gift cards give the most flexibility, I think, and they're awesome.
And me,
I really enjoy them.
And me, it's just Disney gift cards. It's all I want. I tell Brenda Tari, it's all I want. My 50th birthday, all I want is Disney gift cards. If you want to make it 50 for me being 50, I'll be 50% plus another 100% happy. So I'll be 150% happy. Is that all I got? That's all I want for my birthday. And I feel bad. Like I know the question will be like, really? And it's like, it's boring. No, it's not. It's the best. It's the happiest I get when I open up that card and see Mickey staring at me.
Well, you've said it before, Doug, and the thing that you can do to make that person know that you appreciate it is you've told me you've taken a picture with the gift card at the restaurant or something that you went to, and then you say, hey, thank you. This is what you actually got me for my birthday or whatever. And that's a cool thing to do, too.
I've done it many times. Like me and Brenda, every year, we're eating at the different restaurants. I would take a picture of us two eating dinner and then send it to Donna, my sister-in-law. Thank you, Donna, this so much. We love you. This is thank you again for my Christmas gift or my birthday gift.
Right.
And it was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, that's, you know, that way they can actually see what you ended up doing with it. And I think that's a nice gesture. And, you know, maybe next time they'll get you with gift card with even more on it.
Anything on it, just that's right. What I want. It's so nice. Isn't it nice though, Dan, when you go and you don't spend anything extra, you have the gift cards basically covered all? It's like,
oh yeah,
you feel like, even though it's a expensive as hell trip, you feel like it's a free vacation when you're not dipping in your pocket.
Even though you spend money. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't seem like real money when you're just taking out your Buzz Lightyear gift card or something, you know, because it's already money spent in your mind. Because once it goes on the gift card, like we said, it's gone from your account or gone from your wallet, and it's earmarked for Disney. So, yeah, you kind of enjoy, you enjoy spending it. It's not like pulling a $20 bill out of your wallet.
No, it's really not. And it's awesome. And there's no muss, no fuss. A lot of times what I'll do is for the servers, I'll give cash sometimes for tips so this way they're not worried about waiting to get it from the card. So I'll tell them to just charge the meal on the card and then I'll give them cash for a tip. I do prefer to do that a lot of the time. But move on to the next story before this becomes the gift card podcast.
Let's see. We have new black and teal graphic magic bands are now available. Disney has released two new colors in the magic band lineup, black and teal. Both are available as part of a graphic design, with black being available in a Star Wars 40th anniversary magic band and teal in an Elsa design. John, you're going to go for the Elsa, I know.
You got it.
Go, girlfriend. I'm getting Elsa.
The black Star Wars Magic Band 2 is priced at $27.99, and the teal Elsa Magic Band 2 is priced at $22.99.
Now, what makes this – I'm sorry, man, but what makes the Star Wars $5 more than Frozen?
I don't know. The new bands are available at most Magic Band retail locations at Walt Disney World and in the shops – in the Shop Disney Parks app. Unfortunately, neither of the new colors are available in solid colors or available as part of a resort guest or pass holder packages. So you just got to buy these as a separate purchase once you get down there, it looks like. Yeah, they're pretty cool, though.
Oh, absolutely they are.
You gonna go for the Star Wars one? Or?
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at them, but I might get me the Star Wars one, and Lisa would probably want the Elsa one. So have to get some new ones. We don't have the 2.0 Magic Bands yet anyway, so we still got the big one. So.
You got to step up eventually, so you might as well go with the Star Wars.
The one I want to get, but I don't know if it's sold out yet. It might be if we keep talking about it on the show. But have you guys seen the yellow one, the 45th Magic Kingdom Anniversary one?
I have not, but it sounds pretty cool.
And it says it's a limited edition. Only 2,500 of them were made.
And that's the new?
Yeah, it's the new one. So I'm trying to find the price here for it, but it really looks cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine it's any more expensive than the two we just mentioned. So that's the good thing. Like, John, I mean, you know, 22, you could say it's overpriced for what it is. I mean, it's affordable for most, for most people. There's a souvenir, and as much as you go, you're going to get many, many uses out of it. So it does seem like a decent value for as far as getting a souvenir and having it be something you need, to get in the parks and into your resort room and all that good stuff when you're on property.
Yeah, Dennis, so now with the Magic Bands, now how long before they overkill them, just like Vibrations and Pins? So.
Yep. That's what I was trying to say to Doug. 2,500 limited edition sounds like maybe it's not a lot, but I've seen those limited edition ones, and John, you can agree with me or not, but they hang around for a long time, unless it's a very special one. Like if they had special ones for the opening of Avatar Land, them will get scooped up, first day they'll be gone unless they hold some back. Remember the Mine Train ones? I think they were given out to the, people that were covering the soft opening of the Mine Train.
Yeah.
And they came as part of a package. You couldn't just buy them off the shelf, but I'm sure they're going to have some sort of special magic bands for the opening of Avatar Land, and people will want to buy them to commemorate it. And, if they, like the Animal Kingdom and Avatar and all that, they're going to buy them. But to your point, Doug, I'm willing to bet those are still around because I've seen limited edition. Some are limited edition and then they have limited release, which that means nothing. They make as many as they want, but they make it sound limited.
I know. With me collecting those NASCARs,
right,
you'd see limited edition, Dale Earnhardt. And then next thing you know, you look online and there was a 1.5 million made of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was limited to a run of 1.5.
I mean, if you really do want one, we probably know somebody that lives in Florida that could pick one up for you if that's something you really want. So you'd be assured to get one, have it for when you go down later in the year.
Absolutely. I think I could even order it from Disney and have it shipped to me.
Oh, okay. There you go. Even
save John a trip. I don't want him to yell at me for gas money. You know what I'm saying? You know how he is.
Gas, tolls, God.
No, but they look pretty cool. There's another one that's gray that has the Mickey Mouse with like the Epcot logo in it. And it's a nice looking band, but only thing I don't like about it, it says 2017 on it. I would just there's sometimes you like dated stuff, but there's other times you don't. Like, I have some really cool Mickey sweatshirts that are like 15 years old that still look perfect, but because they say 2000 on them, I don't want to wear them out too often because they are actually 20 years old. 20, almost, no, what is it? I got that in 99.
17.
No, I got it. I got the one sweatshirt in 99 because it was 18. Remember how they had the Millennium Celebration?
Yep.
So they were actually selling 2,000 ahead of time. Well, I have a couple of these sweatshirts that look brand new, but I don't like wearing them out because it looks like, yo, dude, that thing's 19 years old or 18 years old. You get some new clothes already.
Yeah, look at this poor guy. He can't even afford clothes, and he's at Disney World.
Yes, exactly. So you don't want to wear it around. Like, I've got a lot of the golf shirts that are old that have just the Mickey logo on them. So you don't know how – you know what I'm saying? Because they're in perfect shape. You don't wear them all the time. Because the one thing Disney does is their stuff is made good. It does last a long time if you don't am I wrong about that?
No, for the most part, you're right. I used to get back in the day, they used to make their own Disney T-shirts, and they still have them, but they're not the same. And, I mean, I tell you, when I wasn't at work or, you know, at a function where I needed to dress up, that's all I wore was they were the pocket tees, and they had the little Mickey insignia
I have a couple
on top
of them.
And they just fit me good. I liked the feel of them. They were good quality, and I had – you know, I had 25 of those things. I'd buy 4 or 5 every time I went down. And then they change vendors somewhere along the way. And the ones they have now, I don't particularly care for. But, you know, it is what it is.
They're half the material. They're cheaper material and double the price.
Yep. And I don't buy them anymore for that very reason. So it's a shame. But, you know, things happen. But by and large, you are correct. You know, you're going to pay a little bit more. But if you get a hoodie or a sweatshirt or something, I mean, you know, it's more than likely going to last you quite a while.
Oh, absolutely. I have quite a few. I have a bunch of hoodies. I have an ESPN Club hoodie I get a lot of these things, too. You know how every once in a while you'll pop in the store and they'll have a $50 hoodie for $20? They're just clearing them. I buy a lot of them things. It don't bother me because the material's so good. Like, I'm still wearing a couple ESPN ones to work that are, you know, 15 years old that are still in perfect shape because they're heavy.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But to answer your question about, I mean, I tend not to buy year-dated merchandise. I agree with you. I don't like it for the reason you said. And I'd rather have something that's more generic, and I kind of stick with that stuff. And we know you collect hats, too, so you have a bazillion hats, right?
Oh, absolutely, I do. And I got 2 more on this last trip, and I'll get a couple more on my next. That's what I like to do.
Doug,
it's a cheap way to do it.
Yeah, I have 2 green trash bags full of – you know how you can fold up the hats where you put the visor or whatever? You tuck it inside the band and kind of roll it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I have 2 green trash bags filled with those with hats in downstairs, and I'm looking at my thing now. I still got about 8 or 10. Most of them, 8 of them are Disney, and the rest some, you know, sports hats. But I have that many up in my room. I mean, I got so many, and some of them are brand new, hardly ever been worn. I collect them or have them, and I just can't use them. I mean, it's only so much time in a day or so many days in a week to wear them all.
Well, there's just certain ones that you end up buying and you don't like how it looks on your head.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. You when you find a hat that fits you good, it looks good, you tend to go with that.
So absolutely. I'll buy 3 hats and out of 10, there'll be 2 that become home runs that you wear all the time. Like the Port Orleans Riverside hat you gave me, it's getting to the point it's only worn for good, but it's starting to get a little shady looking, if you follow me. It's time to get a new one.
Right,
you know, it's wearing down a little bit. Now, the Rose and Crown hat, I love that. It fits perfect. But the color of it, I can only wear certain times.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? It don't go with everything. But the Riverside one goes with – it's like – it's the hat that's on my head 80% of the time.
Right, right.
And it's starting to get to the point where it's going to have to be retired soon because I'm wearing the thing out.
Yeah, my Rose and Crown hat I had to retire. It was my Disney hat, then it was my going out at the grocery store shopping hat, and then it became my work hat. And once it becomes my work hat in the summer here, it's got about a season, and then it has to be retired. Because once I wear it to work, I have to wash it every week just to clean it up a little bit. So, yeah, unfortunately, the Rose and Crown of mine, it did make it. So.
Yeah, see, Springs will never make it to the Riverside hat will never go to work. Disney hats, only one Disney hat made it to work, and when that got ruined, I cried a couple days, I have to admit. So the Disney hats, what I do is I buy Phillies and Eagles hats all the time. I go through them like water. They're my work hats.
Right.
I just buy them at Target and get a Phillies and Eagles hat as they come out. But the Disney ones, they don't usually make it to work too often. What's next, Denny?
Yeah, new dance party heading to Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland is mixing up its entertainment offerings with new experience beginning this spring. The Incredibles Super Dance Party will have its final performance on April 30th, 2017, to be replaced by the Cosmic Dance Party. Taking place on the Rocket Tower Plaza stage, the dance party will feature a live DJ and will debut later in May. A Mr. Incredible meet and greet will be available from May 1st to May 18th. Finally, a new interactive robot experience, Showbot, is making appearance near to Space Mountain. So this is interesting. Is this just a cast member dressed up, it looks like, to me?
Yeah, it does to me, too. I don't know. I like the Incredible Dance Party. I liked it when Mr. and Mrs. Incredible went out there and started jamming. It cracked me up. I never went out there and danced because I didn't want to show them up. But I did like it. It was funny. It was very entertaining. Did you ever see them going off, the whole family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been maybe by the TTR or the TTA, rather, in Carousel of Progress when you're over in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, I've stopped and kind of like you said, you watch the off-kilter. I'd watch it for a few minutes and then move on. But I've seen it in bits and pieces over the years.
Yeah, I wish they kept it the way it was.
Well, things change, right, as we learn?
Yeah. No, I hear you. No, I hear you. I'll miss it, though. Yeah. I will really I ain't going to miss it like I would if Carousel or something left. But I don't know if the robot's going to fill the trick. What do you think, John?
Probably not. The only time I ever caught the dance party was, like Dennis was saying, riding around TTA, and you could almost see a perfect view of it as you spun around on it. So
yeah, we walked through there to sneak through. I would go by there because I always take that back trail to take you over to Fantasyland.
Yep.
When I'm leaving Tomorrowland, instead of going back out to the hub, I always go the back way and around. And when you go the back way and around, it seemed like every single time I take that way, that dance party was going on.
Right. Or they have the big bathrooms are back there, too. So a lot of times if you have to use the facilities, you're going to run into the dance party as well.
Nah, but I mean, this will be something different. I'll say your expression, Bob. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter to me either way, because at least just as long as something's going on, as long as they just don't start charging for a dance party back there, I'm okay. So what's next, Denny?
Yeah, let's see here. The Music of Pixar Live dining package now on sale. Interesting. Disney is now offering a dining package alongside its new summer show at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Beginning May 26, 2017, the Music of Pixar Live dining package gives you reserved seating along with breakfast, lunch, or dinner at one of the park's table service restaurants. The Music of Pixar Live showcases a selection of soundtrack favorites from Cars, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Toy Story, and Up, all performed by a live orchestra. As the symphony plays, giant screens will feature a movie montage, outtakes, and interview excerpts with the folks behind Pixar's captivating music. Character appearances and a sing-along will also be part of the 40-minute show, performed three times per night in the Theater of the Stars on Sunset Boulevard. Each dining package includes an appetizer, entree, and dessert, or one full buffet where applicable, along with non-alcoholic beverage and one guaranteed seat for the Music of Pixar Live held on the same day. Reservations can be made now at 407 WDW Dine or online through August 27, 2017. The following restaurants are taking part in this dining package: Hollywood and Vine. Breakfast is for adults. Breakfast is $39, lunch is $52, dinner is $57, and then same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for per child is $25, $32, and $35. Mama Melrose's Restaurante Italiano, lunch and dinner are $45 for adult, $18 per child, and then over at the Hollywood Brown Derby, lunch and dinner are $65 per adult and $22 per child. You guys running to this?
I mean, it would be fun. I mean, it would be great to hear that music because I love all the Toy Story and all the music from all these Pixar. But I don't know how. I wonder how long. Because I wish it said how long the. Oh, it is a 40-minute show. I'm sorry, I didn't see that part.
Yep.
But
yeah.
But I mean, if you're gonna go and buy the most expensive thing on the menu, it might be worth it because then the show's like $20 to see this. But I don't know if it'll be on my next trip. But it isn't overpriced. I don't think it's a bad deal.
Right. I think it's affordable.
What's your thoughts, John? You headed over?
No, if they had 50s primetime on there, I'd probably take advantage of it. But with those restaurants, and I don't think Brown Derby would be the only one we were interested in. I don't know if that's going to be in our budget for this trip. But otherwise, we're going to catch the show, but I imagine we'll just fast pass it or wait in line for it. Because while it sounds really neat for and probably cool for Disney geeks, I don't know if the average family is going to be running over there to see a 40-minute music presentation. So I think we'll be able to get in to see it without having to do this. So.
See, I just wish they did it, and this is just me being me again. They should have just did it and gave you the package like Fantasmic, because I know this show's not better than Fantasmic. So what if you just got the dinner? If you did do a dinner, a signature dinner, you got to do a fast pass to see this, and they only had so many seats. Like, why they got to nail you the extra money is my point for an orchestra. I mean, you get what I'm saying? Because the point is, if it was at any other park, I could justify it, but with nothing, with all the stuff that isn't at the studios, wouldn't it have been a nice gesture for them just to have this as something else for you to do for your daily ticket there?
Yeah, would have been.
I mean, am I wrong for saying that? And again, I know everybody looks at me for being getting on, and I'm not. I mean, we can't wait to go again. And I said I would mind doing this, but it would have been a nice gesture on Disney's part to just have something like this to add to your park ticket for the day. I mean, because come on, we all know that park is not – you can't spend a day there. You can't unless you do the same ride multiple times.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. But like I said, they're not in business to give free things away. That's just the way they are.
Yeah, but they could give this away.
And they could. Otherwise, it could give its beer away too, but they don't.
But if Bud started, okay, so I'll make that logic for you. So a six pack is $5. If they started giving you four beers for the same six pack, would you still buy it? It's basically what they're doing with this park. When you started, you used to pay this price for all these rides. Now, probably half the park shut down. So basically, you're going to get three beers. I would stop buying Budweiser if I'm only going to get three beers for the price of six.
Yeah, I wouldn't drink Bud to begin with.
But you understand what I'm coming on.
I do get your point. But,
they need to add some things to help you out in this park.
No, they don't need to. They should, but they don't need to.
No, well, me and you, that's why you didn't go last trip. Barely. You were there, 10 minutes?
Yeah, I hardly go to...
If you didn't have an annual pass, would you even go in there?
No, I wouldn't have.
Exactly. So
that's my fourth park now anyways.
It's probably my fifth. I prefer the Springs over it.
Right. But, I mean, you said at the beginning, though, and I agree. It's not a bad value for the price they're offering.
No, if it was any other park, I could see them offering it more. But at this park, they have enough room to give you something. And it also tells me that the only restaurant in this resort in this park that don't need help is 50s Prime Time.
Yeah. Well, it's probably the most popular, restaurant there, I would say. A lot of people love that restaurant. And it's probably booked to capacity, all by itself. It doesn't need help.
No.
So this is throwing a bone to some of these other restaurants that I would imagine have empty seats or could, stand to have some more guests booked there. So,
well, with everything, now this is the point, too, is they probably said, oh, this orchestra thing sounds great. Maybe we'll put it in the studios to give something to do there. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, do you think we should charge for it? Oh, absolutely. But the problem with Mama Melrose is if you're not going back to see Muppets, there's nothing else back there. So you're not even venturing to that part of the park.
No, not nowadays, that's for sure.
So, I mean, that's probably why their crowd is down. Who's going to walk? I mean, you're not walking all the way back there. I know the Backlot Express is probably dying back there. It's the only thing back there.
Yeah, there's that and the Joffrey's coffee kiosk there. in the back, if it's still there. Maybe they tore it down too, but it was there last time I was there.
Yeah, but you're basically hiking back there just to have – who's going to go all the way back there? Just to have – I mean, there's nothing else. Like, I know it's back there, so we might go back there not to deal with the crowds. But if you're just – if you don't know the park and it's your first time there and there's on the map, nothing's back there but a restaurant, are you going to go?
Probably not.
Exactly. So it does show me the only thing that isn't hurting over here is 50s prime time. And that's the only thing that's kid-oriented, and that's why.
Mm-hmm. So. And it's a fun restaurant.
Oh, it's an the food's great. I picked it in mine. You guys didn't. Right. I did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's
and I still lost. All right. And I still lost.
Yeah.
Well, what's next, Danny? I think we're headed to Pandora.
See. Yes, yes. First look at merchandise coming to Pandora, the world of Avatar. The official Disney Parks blog has given us the first look at some of the merchandise that will be available in Pandora, world of Avatar. Wind Traders is the name of the main merchandise location in Pandora and will sell products based on a variety of artwork. The artwork and the merchandise will be available in 2032, they say. The merchandise will be out to coincide with the move. Oh, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
I know.
Boy,
you
guys are tough. You have no reaction.
I was waiting for you to bring it back in.
Holy cow.
That's just joking about the we read the movie release dates last show, and they're coming out in 2020 and 2023, and so we figured we'll have the merchandise, you know, 7 years after the movies come out, and that'll be, you know, that'll make sense.
Right in the timeline.
Yes. Artists working on the merchandise include Dylan Cole, co-production designer for the upcoming Avatar motion. Yes.
Motion
pictures. Well, easy for me to say. Casey Jones from Disney Consumer Products and Joe Rohde from WDI. The cave painting art is from Joe Rohde using sketches made during the development of Flight of Passage. Pandora, the World of Avatar, opens May 27, 2017 at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Yeah, they got hats and cups and pins and patches and all the stuff that you would expect to see from Disney whenever they release a new land or a new attraction.
The first stuff looks like some of the Deadheads made it.
Yeah. Pretty groovy stuff.
Yeah, late 60s, early 70s, man. Yeah. They'd be grooving, man. You know what I'm saying, dude?
Yeah.
I mean,
it is bizarre. It's just, well, I mean, our listeners can't see it.
I bet a lot of this stuff will sell in Colorado. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what are you talking about? My state legalized it, too. Massachusetts would probably be buying some of this stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do like the, what is it, biofluorescent or whatever that word is. But the whole line of stuff for the, I guess it's the Pandora, is all that biofluorescent.
Fluorescent.
I'm not saying the first part of that word is wrong, but you guys know what I mean. They have like a lanyard and bags and a coffee cup and looks like some sort of artwork, and it's all that same pattern. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully there's a hat that's a little subdued, because I'm definitely not wearing this psychedelic stuff. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll probably want to get something when I get down there, when it's open. You know, something to commemorate that I was there the first year that it opened. Maybe a pen or, you know, a coffee mug or something like that.
What I was thinking is maybe a couple of those little patches. I could sew one onto my backpack.
Yeah, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. In fact, I remember when I was a kid. Remember when denim coats were in fashion and a lot of people used to sew patches onto them, if whatever you were into at that time? I don't know. Then maybe I'll start a Disney patch jacket.
There you go. Your style meters, they're still not in. I wear mine all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to get my Levi's or one of those nice denim jackets and put my patches on them.
There you go. We'll start the double. We'll get Lampy and put him right on the back. We'll get a patch of him to start with.
There you
My
go.
Wife's been working on one of those for me for about 2 years now, but I keep asking her, why is she doing me a jacket when we live in Florida? But that's what she wanted to do. So I might get a chance to wear it once a year or so. But,
Dude, it's being done out of love. Why you criticize? Just let her be happy.
No,
she's
I don't
doing
criticize.
So when she stops doing it for you, well, maybe you should tell her to put the patches on your cargo shorts then.
I never get to wear it. I got my cruise jacket from the Navy that I never get to wear, you know. It sits in the closet. So.
I'm going to tell her to sew a couple of them on your bare feet while you're sleeping. Then you can look down at them. You're walking with your sandals.
Put them on my sandals.
Yes, exactly. Listen to this guy crying that he don't have to wear a jacket. Don't you just want to slap him?
Well, somebody else realized that those were in fashion at one time. Anyways, moving right along. What's new and what's next for Disney Parks to be revealed July 15th at D23 Expo 2017?
I hear Dennis twice there. You're repeating.
We're getting some feedback. All eyes will be on the D23 Expo at the Anaheim Convention Center July 15th as Disney Parks Chairman Bob Chapek takes to the stage to announce what's next for Disney Parks and around the world. Chapek will present before nearly 7,000 attendees at 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 15th. For more information on the expo, you can go and visit d23.com/d23/expo/. Complete Hall D23 presentation schedule, all events subject to change. So on Friday, 10 a.m., they're going to have the Disney Legends Award Ceremony. 2:30 p.m., the Walt Disney Studios animation. Then on Saturday, July 15th at 10:30, Walt Disney Studios live action. So we'll hear about live action movies that are coming out. 3 p.m., Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. That's what we
referenced.
Where we
want to be at.
yeah. Let me finish first. Sunday, July 16th, A Whole New World of Alan Menken. And then at 5 p.m., A Whole New World of Alan Menken. So it looks like they're going to have two presentations of that particular topic. But, a lot of the bloggers and some of the podcasts and some of the people that cover the events, they will actually tweet out, if you're on Twitter, or not so much Facebook, but particularly on Twitter, as he says stuff, they actually tweet it out. So even if you can't be there on July 15th at 3 o'clock, like I said, if you hop on Twitter and you follow a lot of Disney blogs and Disney sites, chances are you'll get to hear it pretty much as it unfolds, because I'm sure he will announce some things that we don't know about and will be exciting. So I try to go on Twitter when those type things happen.
And just a little hint for you, go on at 6 p.m., not 3 p.m.
Why would I go at 6?
Because it's Western Standard Time, so it'd be 6 o'clock here when that event's going on.
Oh, yeah, right. I'd be early, right?
Yeah, you'd be 3 hours early. You'd be like, what? Okay. Nothing's happening at the parks.
I like to be early. Yeah. But have you guys actually seen that, though, with people that tweeted out? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like Lou and all them will be, because I know Lou's going to be there, because him and Becky, they usually set up I think they have like a tent, or like a booth or whatever, not a tent, a booth out at the convention usually. And the only day I'd really, all this sounds good, I would take any, but the day I'd want to be there is that day with the live action at 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m. and then 3 p.m. That would be the day I would pick to go. And then the other days I'd be over at Disneyland myself.
Dennis, we know why Doug would want to go to the live action, so because Johnny Depp usually shows up, so he definitely want to see that. So.
I'd boo and boo and boo. I mean, everybody was even trying to get me over when he showed up at the parks. He's just trying to make his image good again. That's all he's doing.
A Disney legend.
Yes, legend in his own mind, in my opinion.
Like I said, in my opinion, and this is just mine, you got to separate the actor from the man. If you do that, all is good.
No, I can't do that.
You got to attribute. Well, let me say it like, never mind. I'm not going to go there. I'll go to the next story.
There you go.
Okay. Let's see. First look at the new Italian restaurant concept to replace Portobello at Disney Springs. Portobello Country Italian Trattoria closed its door on 24th, with work now underway on bringing a new Italian restaurant concept to the space. The restaurant is located in the landing at Disney Springs next to the recently opened Paddlefish. owner Levy Restaurants is carrying out a multi-million dollar renovation of the restaurant, with James Beard award-winning and top chef master Tony Matano, we'll go with that, leading the development. We've been grateful to serve our loyal guests at Portobello for the last 7 years, said Andy Lansing, president and CEO of Levy Restaurants. We look forward to welcoming our guests back to the location early this fall when we unveil a new concept at Disney Springs. The new concept is planned to open early fall 2017. So that's going to be maybe not exciting, but nice that they're going to renovate, seeing how they're one of the old dogs down there at Disney Springs now with all the new restaurants coming on board.
What that looks like, I mean, it's a beautiful looking building. It kind of reminds you, I guess they're trying to make it a homey feeling because it looks like a big house is the design of it. It looks like a big rancher when you look at the photos.
Yeah, and it looks like they added a second story on because currently, or the, you know, the old version, that round, I don't know, whatever you want to call it on the right-hand side, that's always been there, and it looks like it's going to stay as part of the new design, but it looks like they added a second story on the other, on the main wing of the building. You're right, Doug, but I think it still kind of gets lost between Paddlefish and Raglan Road and all that. I mean, I don't know. I'm glad they're doing a multi-million dollar renovation, and I'm excited to check it out, but I'm still not convinced it's going to help its guests going there. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, the one thing I can say, Dan, from what I'm looking at the concept art, to the left-hand side, that more looks like a carport kind of area, like a breezeway. Not a carport, mm-hmm. like a breezeway. And it looks like there's going to be – so I think it's going to – I think the way this design is from everything I'm looking at, I think it's going to increase it because if you look at it, it has an outside bar there now that it didn't have before.
Yeah, so, I mean – that. Would seem to make sense given they're right on the water, right?
Yeah, there's an outside bar to the left, and then there's a whole seating area there in the courtyard. So before, I knew it was there, but a lot of people wouldn't even know. Like, the entrance to that restaurant was so small, there was not. It was not inviting. It didn't call you over. Does that make sense to you, Dan? It didn't look like it was festive over there. It was a great restaurant, but it wasn't like half the time you didn't even know it was open or not. There was nobody out there.
I've never run into somebody else that's even been there. I mean, I've been there 3 or 4 times, as I told you, over the years. We had a couple of family celebrations there. So, you know, it's a great restaurant, and I go there and would go there. But I think you even said it a couple shows ago, with everything that's on your short list of restaurants to visit, you know, how high up on the list is this going to be? I don't know. To me, I got 10 other places I want to try before I try this, regardless of how much renovations they do.
See, now, me, I'm on the other side of the fence with that. What it does for me now is, now that it looks like there's outside seating and an outside bar area there, outside tables, I could see me stopping here because I said I want to do my food and wine at the Springs. I could see me and Brent hitting here just to have a drink and sample an appetizer together or a small plate if they have that on the menu. And that seems to be where most Disney restaurants are going, to give you the option for the small plates or the entree. So if it has that kind of atmosphere, then I could see me late at night coming over here and grabbing a night snack and a couple drinks. It has more of a chance of me going there now than it would have before the renovations, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm just saying, though, you know, it's just there's so many places we want to go to down there. It's just, I don't know. It's just, we'll have to see.
There would be no chance before this, but now that they have the outside seating, the bar area, the easy in and out atmosphere, it has more of a chance. With just entrees, it would have never even made it with all the new restaurants down there.
Right.
But now that it has this opportunity for me, I could see me popping in, me and Brenda grabbing a beer and a glass of wine for her and trying one of their appetizers. What about you, John?
Yeah, I would think so. If you happen to be strolling by and hit their Paddlefish and maybe Raglan Road, so the 3 trifecta right there, you could have an appetizer at each one.
Exactly, so. And it does look – you have to admit that with the picture out there, the front of it looks so much more festive. I mean, there's the whole front of the restaurant now has seating where it didn't have that before.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if, you know, a lot of people think like you did, you do, then maybe it's accomplished what it wants to. It's going to at least get people curious about it, and I guess that's all they can hope for.
Yeah,
if
you
go in and have that appetizer and drink and you really like it or you like the ambiance, maybe you go back for a full-on, you know, dinner at some time in the future, so that will have done its job.
Absolutely. It's going to make me roam over there and look at the bar. It like, there's stuff to see, and us as Disney geeks, if there's more we could see, the better. But last year when I walked over there, I seen a front door. There was nothing, and brick building. There was nothing there that would invite me in. Like, I'm not the type that just walks in a door that it does, like, it doesn't seem like I'm supposed to be. I'm not just going to walk in and peek my head around when I don't have a reservation, if you follow
right.
me.
They don't have a podium outside. All they have is the menu on one of those, I don't know what you'd call it, but where they have the menu behind glass out there. But you're right. If nobody happens to be going in when you walk by or coming out, the door is kind of nondescript, and you'd probably just blow right by it. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so now it looks more inviting as well. It has more curb appeal. How about we put it that way?
Yeah, I agree.
Next, my friend.
Operating hours updated 2017 at Walt Disney World. Disney World has refreshed the operating hours for summer 2017. Most parks have seen an increase of at least 1 hour each day, along with the addition of nighttime shows. The summer is a busy period for Walt Disney World, with several big openings taking place. Pandora, the World of Avatar, opens May 27th, and with it comes hours of 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., with morning extra magic hours 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., and evening extra magic hours 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. At the Magic Kingdom, the new nighttime spectacular, Happy Ever After, debuts May 12th. Rather surprisingly, the Magic Kingdom hours rarely extend beyond 10 p.m. close in June and July. Disney's Hollywood Studios continues with a 9:30 p.m. close throughout the summer, with a single performance of Fantasmic most nights, joined by Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular. You can view all of the park hours updated officially at the Walt Disney World Operating Hours calendar.
What about Epcot?
I guess it's they're taking it offline for the summer.
Yeah, I guess there's no Epcot now.
No, I guess not.
9 to 9.
Yeah, you can count on that. Yeah.
The other thing I am excited about, though, how cool is it to have the Animal Kingdom open to 1 a.m.?
Yeah, that's obviously unheard of. Those of us that have never been there after dark, I know you have, Doug, and you too, John, right?
Yeah, we saw Rivers of Light. So.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine a 12:30 a.m. safari ride. I'd be scared. But no, that would be cool.
Me and my son have those fast passes for the Flight of Passage at 9:35 or something like that. We'll be over there, so we'll get off of that and be able to roam around there at night. So that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
I think maybe the ambiance in the entire Pandora, I think I'm looking forward to as much as the actual rides. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be awesome being there at nighttime.
Yeah.
I mean, it was when we were there. I loved it. Like I said, that safari ride to me was, like I said, you've seen some different things during the day that gives it an advantage, but the nighttime part, it just made it feel like you weren't supposed to be there. Like you were on a real savannah. It's hard to explain, but the eeriness of it gave it a little extra kick to me, and I actually enjoyed it a lot at night. It made it a totally different ride. Kind of like, and same thing, and you guys know this, how much better is, in my opinion, I think, okay, during the day, Splash Mountain's great because on a hot summer day, you get that refreshing, you get the it's bright out, it's nice, but there's something that's so cool about being on Splash Mountain at night when you come out over that hill and you see the entire park. It makes it two different rides. Do you guys disagree with me?
No, I agree, and, I know you said when you did Mine Train, it was something that you had to experience both during the day and at night because it has different feels and, it's just different. So I think that, a lot of them rides that are both outside and dark rides, in the interior of the ride, it does make sense to try it both ways.
Even the TTA, I think, is better at night. You want to know why?
Neon.
Not just the neon. The other thing that helps is, on that real bright summer day, and you take your glasses off because you're going in through the inside. When you come out from being inside, I mean, you're blinded for like a couple minutes.
Yeah. It's like somebody's got a spotlight on you, your face.
Yeah, your pupils are like, yo, dude, what are you doing to me? That's just wrong. So it is nicer. Like, that transition flows so much nicer when you're on the ride at nighttime. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, yeah, that's why when I go on now, I just leave my sunglasses on, even in the dark parts, for that reason.
My favorite out of the entire Magic Kingdom ride at night is the Jungle Cruise. And it's for the same – I think it would be the same thing as for, like, the Safari.
Absolutely.
Gives you a certain creepiness, a certain creepiness, and you don't really see the – even though on the Jungle Cruise, obviously, they're animatronics, but you don't see the stuff until you're right on top of it, and then all of a sudden you get a bright light shining on it. So it's really cool. So.
Yeah, the Jungle Cruise is awesome. And the other thing is even awesome, too, is the Haunted Mansion. It just – the whole atmosphere is better when you're going in there on a late night, especially when you do, like, extra magic hours when you get on at, like, 11, 12 at night when the park is open late. It's just something about it going on and off. And then the other thing I love, too, is my train at night. Going around the park with all the lights on, it's a totally different experience. And it's a nice ride because you get that nice breeze going around the park at nighttime.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've ridden it at night. What time do they shut that down? Is it 7 or 8 o'clock? I don't think it runs right to park close. I know it's not open at park close, but
no,
I don't
but
know
if,
what time.
When I've ridden it, they've had it open late a couple times, but like when daylight saving time doesn't kick in, it gets dark around 4:30, 5 o'clock. The train will still be running, you know, and you can get on it at night, and it has a totally different atmosphere when you're on it at dark than it does during the day.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm going to try to hopefully do that at some point because I don't think I've ever ridden it in the dark, but I got to try to do that.
It's awesome.
All right. Winter course at Winter Summerland Miniature Golf closed. It closed for a day. I don't know what happened there.
A gopher dug an extra hole on one of the holes. So that darn gopher got there.
All right, you guys got to help me here. New image of the Pandora bioluminescent. Yeah, let's go with
bioluminescent,
that. Bioluminescent flora. A newly released marketing image from Disney offers a new look at Pandora, the world of Avatar, after dark. The land takes new life after dark with bioluminescent flora, providing a colorful landscape and even responding to touch. Pandora, the World of Avatar, opens May 27th, as we've said 5 times during this show. And it's pretty cool. The picture that they show here shows a father and son, it looks like. And they actually are the color blue that the Avatar people are, or whatever you call them. So that's pretty cool.
Now, I can't wait for the whole thing. I can't wait to see the way the videos are shown, like the ground lights up as you walk across it in certain areas, or I don't know. And I don't know if it's the entire land. Do you guys know if it's saying that or not?
I don't know.
John, do you know anything?
No, I'm not real sure.
But I mean, there's going to be so many things. It's going to be so exciting to have a totally different land, because that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be different than anything we've ever seen, and I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
Even though we're all pissed off about the delay of the movies.
I'm not mad. I'm just not going to watch them.
Just not going to watch them.
Let's see here. Back to our robot a little bit. So new interactive ICANN robot experience in Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland. A brand new interactive character experience has debuted in the Magic Kingdom. And this just looks like now that we see, I'm looking at a picture of him, it looks like a person inside of a robot-type costume that is on a Segway. That's what it looks like to me. Named ICANN, the robot travels around Tomorrowland, striking up conversations with guests of all ages. Besides the highly agile, an impressive feature is his ability to look up information on, say, where people live and have detailed knowledge of the area. He is also equipped with a chest-mounted video and display and extensive onboard sound effects and music. And you can watch a video to see how this ICANN robot interacts with the guests. And be sure to keep an eye out in Tomorrowland to meet ICANN. Appearance times are not published, but mornings around Cool Ship area are a good place to start.
It'll be cool. I mean, it'll be different. I mean, if again, it'll be like Streetmosphere. If I happen to be there when it's going on, I'll check it out.
Yeah, kind of. It's like Push the Trash Can, only a lot more advanced. Remember Push?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Yeah, all the people that got so upset when Push left. So I guess they finally came out with the new version, right? So.
Yeah. Well, you heard the story about that. That actually Disney, Push was a what do they call him? Subcontractor. In other words, some man invented this thing and he sold it to Disney, and he must have had a contract like any of the other entertainments there. And somewhere along the way, you know, they had a falling out, or Disney decided it wasn't going to pay the money or whatever, and they got rid of him. So I'd be interested to know if this is a similar thing, or if this is a Disney-made whatever he is, robot. I'm thinking it's Disney, but I don't know.
No, I'd be interested to see what's going on with it. Like I said, it's something different, and at least they're not making you pay for it, so I'm happy about it.
Well, there's a slot you got to put quarters in to keep talking on.
Don't give them any ideas. They'll have they'll just have a slide where you could slide your gift card or scan your magic band on his chest.
Yeah.
So
let's see here. Expedition Everest single rider queue temporarily unavailable. The single rider line at Expedition Everest and Disney's Animal Kingdom will be temporarily unavailable. This was for one day again. The closure of the line was planned from April 26th through May 16th. Oh, it is for a little longer. Reopening to guests on May 16th. During the refurbishment, the standby and fast pass lines will operate as normal. So they're doing something to the single rider queue. We'll find out what it is down the road.
Yeah, hopefully adding something that makes the ride even better.
Right. Yeah, we can only hope. Let's see. Go ahead, John.
No.
Said something. I'm sorry. Room-only discounts and more package offers at Walt Disney World Resort Hotels. Alongside today's free dining package, Disney has also released three more offers, including a room-only offer. Our highly rated room-only offer. It's the perfect time to stay in the middle of the magic. You can save up to 25% on rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for most stays, August through 1 October, through the 1st of October, when you book by August 31st, 2017. With this offer, you can enjoy distinctive Disney Resort guest benefits and amenities, including early access to FastPass Plus, planning, extra magic hours, complimentary resort transportation, standard parking, and entertainment amenities. Plus, you can uncover a magical mix of new and unforgettable experiences when they add theme park admission, including Pandora, the World of Avatar, at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. Booking window is April 24th through August 31st. The following room types in Disney Resort hotels are excluded: 3-bedroom villas, Disney's Art of Animation Resort, the Little Mermaid standard rooms, Disney's Polynesian villas and bungalows, Copper Creek Villas at Disney's Wilderness Resort, the Villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, Bay Lake Tower at Disney's Contemporary Resort. So unless one of those named resorts, I guess everything else is in play. The number of rooms allocated for this offer is limited. Length of stay requirements may apply. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room. Additional per adult charges may be available if two adults per room at Disney Value, Moderate, and Deluxe Resorts cannot be combined with any other discount or promotion. Advance reservations required. Offer exclude. Yeah, and I just read the exclusions. Let's see. Do you want me to read these all, Doug, or just mention them? Maybe. Okay, they got the Enchanted Escape Package, where you got to book through August 31st. Booking window April 24th through August 31st, Sunday through Thursday nights. Yeah, that's You can enjoy a package that includes, this is for the Enchanted Escape package. Excuse me, I'm all over the place here.
It's okay, we're used to it.
Well, I just I'll bore everybody with all the details if you want, but I'm just trying to kind of condense this. You can enjoy a package that includes a four-night stay in a standard room at select Disney's All-Star Resort and four-day Magic Your Way base tickets for as low as $1,890. Sample package price is valid for a family of four for stays most Sunday through Thursday nights from August 13th through October 5th. Then they have the kid-size Enchanted Escape package. That's where you can explore a package that includes a three-night stay in a standard room at Disney's All-Star Resort and two-day Magic Your Way base ticket for as low as $938. And then they also have the only one. Yeah, these packages, I mean, if you're going or you're interested in this, you can get a hold of Doug and or John, and they can tell you all about this stuff and help you with your booking. But there's some good offers out there right now for traveling to Disney later this summer.
Yeah, they also have the free dining one out there, too.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds like it'd be a better option to get one of these and get your gift card for free for your dining rather than to even worry about the silly free dining. So.
This is true. Let's see. The free dining packages we did mention, but I'll mention them again here.
Free just so dining, we can yell about how the moderator left out.
Free dining 2017 for Walt Disney World Resorts, August 21st through September 30th, November 14th through November 20th, November 25th through November 27th, and December 8th through December 23rd. Package includes the room, theme park tickets with Park Hopper or Park Hopper Plus option, dining plan, Disney quick service dining plan with value and moderate resort hotel packages, Disney dining plan with deluxe and deluxe villa resort hotel packages. Important details. The number of rooms is allocated for this offer is limited. Advanced reservations required. Ticket and options must be used within 14 days of first use. Children 3 to 9 must choose from the children's menu if available. Some table service restaurants may have limited or no availability at time of package purchase. And your ticket requirements are a minimum two-day Magic Your Way ticket with Park Hopper or Park Hopper Plus option. Offer restrictions cannot be combined with any other discount or promotion. It excludes alcoholic beverages and gratuities. Everyone in the same room must be on the package. Offer excludes the following room types: campsites, three-bedroom villas, Disney's Art of Animation Resort, Little Mermaid standard rooms, and bungalows at Disney's Polynesian villas and bungalows. And we spoke to this, like I said, last week, but this is very popular in all these packages. A lot of people book and try to save money. So, like John said, me, I would go for the money off your resort room, but that's me.
So would I. I mean, our buddy Pat and us, we got in the argument, not an argument, we went back and forth on Twitter this week, and he said his family does the dining plan. And the only thing I will agree with him on as far as that, he uses the dining plan because they do a lot of character dining. So it does help with that. That's about the only way that it works. But as we said a million times on this show, when you do the dining plan for the $65 a day, you have to buy the most expensive thing on the package that day. Because if I went to, say, breakfast, I got my bounty platter. It's $10, so I would skip that. I would get the snack probably for breakfast and get a Danish or whatever. But then you do lunch. Say I went to the – so what's a Danish? $6-$7 whatever or a croissant, something like that. And then I go to Columbia Harbor House. And one of the most expensive things is the lobster roll. So I think at Columbia Harbor House it's like $13 now. Am I wrong, guys?
I think that's right.
Even price it high and say $15. So we'll say 15. So there's 22 now. Because I'm even pricing my snack high at 7 because most of your snacks are $4 or $5. So we'll say 7. So now I'm at $22. So if I go to Rose and Crown and get a $22 bangers and mash, I spend $44 for my day. And what am I doing with the other $25 or the other $23?
It's a lot of water you got to drink.
and you can't even get that because they're my right. three options. I get one snack, one counter, and one meal. So basically, or say that day you're in the mood for say you want to do Casey's and a lobster roll. There's some days where me and Brenda don't want to do sit down. The thing I don't like about the dining plan, it totally 100% dictates what you're going to do on your trip.
Right. And I mean, that's part of Disney's, the method to their madness. They want you to commit to eating all your meals on property. And you're right, Doug. You really got to work hard nowadays to extract the full value out of that dining plan. And even if you did it 2 or 3 days, you're certainly not going to do it the other four. Or if you're on a 10 or more day trip, I mean, boy, you know, you're going to lose money. It's as simple as that. The average family or guest or, you know, whoever's using it, you know, you'd have to work awful hard to come out on top at the end of your trip.
It was 100% even like if they kept the same rules, right? And Disney didn't like do what Disney does and wouldn't have made Le Cellier 2 dining credits and half the good restaurants that you like all the restaurants that we would go to that would justify it, they turn into two right. credits.
So then you're short a dining credit on your last day or whatever because you can't eat. And I was going to say, when you were talking to Pat, he likes doing the character dining. Aren't those two credits too?
Yeah, some are and some aren't. If you go to breakfast, it's one.
All right.
So and that's the other deal. I mean, you got to sit here. That's the other reason why you want to use an agent, because figuring all this out is craziness. But the point is like Le Cellier now is 2 credits, so you're basically spending $130 for your meal.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, some people like it for just the peace of mind that everything's paid for, even though it isn't, because you got to figure in gratuity and you don't get an appetizer.
You don't
all
get
that
drinks
stuff.
Either. If you want to have a beer, that's separate. It's not covered. Right. Your soda is, but not a beer.
Yeah, so almost that logic doesn't even make sense at this point, because it's not all inclusive like it was years ago. And we said this when the dining plan came out, it was a great value and you could save money and get to try some things. Like you said, you and Brenda tried some desserts that you normally never ever would have tried.
Free dining worked out great because of that.
Yeah, but they squeezed it and penny pinched and have, you know, cut the heart out of it, if you will, so much over the years that now it's just the bare bones are left, and it's really not, it can be a value, but in most cases it isn't. And if you do the math, and I told this story before, my boss went and did the dining plan, and he kept track of every receipt and figured the tax and everything. He cranked all the numbers on it, and he said he barely broke even on it. It wasn't of value. And he doesn't, you know, eat at the top restaurants, but he doesn't eat all counter service. But again, it generally doesn't work out to be a cost savings to the average visitor to Walt Disney World.
Well, back when Le Cellier was on it, even if they kept Le Cellier and Yachtsman and all these restaurants as normal, then I could justify it because, and I don't know why they didn't do it. Like, I could go get my $40 steak at Le Cellier because that's what I'm going to get when I go there. So it would be worth it to me. Or when I went to Paddlefish or something like that. But now that it's 2 signature credits, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, it would work for you if you did breakfasts all week. If you're going to do character breakfasts all week long, then it's worth it to you. But as far as any other way, the only way it's worth it is if you want the convenience. And I don't get the convenience of it. I don't understand why you can't just load a card on your Magic Band. I mean, just carry a gift card. It makes no – it's just like you're giving them money. Because there's a lot of days where, Dan, how many days do you – there's been times where I've canceled my reservations during the day, or we planned on going one place, but as the day works out, you change your mind. But when you're on the dining plan, you got to make sure you eat – you got to eat that wherever you go. You can't get the – if you're in the mood for pizza, a slice of pizza at Mama's. No, if you're at Mama's and you did that as your dining, you better order the steak. Even though you don't want Italian, you have to get it because you feel obligated to spend 30, 40 bucks for your dinner.
And that's what Disney wants to do, and we all do this. They want you to be geeked up and amped about your vacation and your planning, as we all do, 180 days, 60 days, all them mile markers that you have when you're going towards a vacation. And you're probably – you know, a lot of people book the dining plan and say, oh, that sounds awesome, and yeah, we're da-da-da. And now Disney has you because you've already spent your money before you got there. You've committed, and you don't realize all of the problems that you just mentioned, you know, that you come across. I mean, I would imagine a lot of first-time visitors to Walt Disney get the dining plan, you know, if they can afford it. I don't know for sure, but I bet you a large percentage of them do. And I'd also say I'll bet you a lot of the long-time visitors like ourselves don't get the dining plan anymore. I'll bet you the statistics would bear that out, too, because we know all the pitfalls of it, like you just mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we'll end the crying there, Dan. That's about all the news for the week. We've already moaned and groaned enough for it. Is that all you have?
Yeah, I'm good as far as the news on my end goes.
John, do you have anything else? I think we lost John now.
Okay, I guess we put him to sleep.
Dining plan, exactly where?
What's that?
Where?
Yeah, you're here. What did you
say?
Can
you hear me?
Yes, we thought we lost you.
No, I was going to say exactly what you said about Mama Melrose is what we did when we had the dining plan. I bought it 1 year just to see, attempt and see if it would work for us. And we went to Mama Melrose, and me and Lisa both had to end up getting the steak off of the menu because that's the most expensive item, and you got to make sure that you're going to get your value out of it. And although I think she felt like pasta and I felt like flatbread, that's what we ended up eating was steak. And the steak from that Italian restaurant was not the best steak I've ever had. So it just did not end up working for us at all. So.
No, it's not a filet. But anyway,
no, strip.
But anyway, guys, if you can go over and check out John at the Weekly Pint and at Beer Solo on Twitter, and you can also find him at John Peters on Facebook. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find Bob at It's All in WDW and on our website, It's All in WDW. And you can find me at Good Old Grumpy6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, be kind to one another. Go over to iTunes and be kind to us and leave us a review. And we will talk to you guys during the week.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.